Have you ever looked at that thick blue ring wrapped around a major airport on your sectional and felt your stomach tighten a little? The one that looks like a bullseye somebody drew around the busiest place you could possibly fly? You're not alone. And here's the thing, that airspace is not there to keep you out, it's there to keep everybody alive. But you have to know the rules to play in it. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're doing an airspace refresher, and we're going to talk about the big one. Class Bravo, the upside-down wedding cake. Let's walk through this together before we dig in. Let me give a shout-out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. Okay, Class Bravo, here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The shape matters, and the shape is the whole point. When people call it an upside-down wedding cake, that is not just a cute picture. It is telling you exactly how the airspace is built. Picture a stack of rings down at the surface, right over the primary airport. You've got the smallest ring. That inner core usually goes from the ground all the way up. Then as you move out from the airport, the airspace stacks up in shelves. Each shelf starts higher off the ground than the one inside it, but they all typically top out at the same altitude, usually 10,000 feet above the airport. So the closer you are to the center, the more of the airspace column belongs to Bravo. The farther out you go, the more room you have to fly underneath a shelf without ever entering the Bravo at all. That's why the shape is upside down. The layers get wider as they go up, like a wedding cake somebody flipped over. Now, why does this matter to you, the pilot flying a Cessna 172 or a Piper on a Saturday afternoon? Because the boundaries are invisible. You can't see a shelf, and the airspace changes depending on your altitude and your position at the same time. You might be perfectly legal at 2,500 feet, and then you climb 300 feet, and you have busted Bravo without ever changing your heading. Let me give you a real scenario. This is the classic one, and it catches people every year. You're flying along under a Bravo shelf. Let's say the shelf where you are starts at 3,000 feet. So the floor of the Bravo above you is 3,000, and you're cruising along at 2,600, totally legal, nobody needs to talk to you. Beautiful day. Then you get distracted. Maybe you're looking for traffic. Maybe your head's down fiddling with your iPad. Maybe there's rising terrain and you instinctively climb, and you drift up to 3,100 feet. You are now inside Class Bravo, without a clearance, and you didn't feel a thing. That is the trap. Bravo does not announce itself. There's no fence, no gate, no bump, just a line on a chart and a number you were supposed to remember. So, let's talk about the numbers, because reading the Bravo on the chart is the real skill here on your sectional. Class Bravo is drawn with those solid blue lines, thick, bold blue, and inside each section of the cake, you'll see a set of numbers that look like a fraction, a number on top, a number on the bottom. The top number is the ceiling, the bottom number is the floor, both in hundreds of feet above sea level. So if you see 100 over 30, that means the Bravo in that section goes from 3,000 feet up to 10,000 feet above sea level. Mean sea level, the altitude your altimeter actually reads. Here's the part that trips students up. Those are MSL numbers, not height above the ground. So you always, always have to know your altitude in the same terms. Set your altimeter, know your field elevation, and read that chart carefully. The floor that says 3,000 is 3,000 on your altimeter, not 3,000 above your wheels. And when the bottom number is the letters SFC, that means surface. That's the core. Bravo all the way to the ground. Now the big one. The rule that makes Bravo different from every other airspace you fly through. You need a clearance to enter. And I mean specifically a clearance, not just talking to the controller. This is where people get themselves in real trouble, so let's be precise about it. The regulation is 91130. To operate inside Class Bravo, you must receive an air traffic control clearance from the controlling facility before you enter. And here's the phrase that matters. You have to hear the words cleared into the Bravo or cleared into the Class Bravo, those specific words. Let me tell you why this is such a common bust. You call up approach, you say, approach Cessna 12345, 10 miles south, 2500, request transition through the Bravo, and the controller comes back and says, Cessna 12345, standby. Now, standby is not a clearance. Radar contact is not a clearance. Even just having the controller read back your call sign is not a clearance. If you hear anything other than cleared into the Bravo, you must stay out. You hold outside that blue line or you stay below the shelf until you hear those magic words every year. pilots get violated because they heard the controller say their tail number and assumed that meant they were cleared in. It does not. Contrast that with Class Charlie, just so the difference is crystal clear. In Charlie airspace, all you need is two-way radio communication established. If the controller says your call sign, you're in communication, and you can enter. Bravo is stricter. Bravo demands the actual clearance. That's the single most important difference to lock into your memory. So let's walk through doing it right. Start to finish, you're planning to transition to Bravo. First thing before you ever key the mic, you look at your chart and you figure out where you are relative to those shelves and what altitude keeps you clear until you get your clearance. You have a plan for what you'll do if they say no. Then you find the right frequency. It'll be an approach or departure control frequency for that Bravo. You can find it on the chart, in the chart supplement, or on the ATIS. Speaking of which, get the ATs first always. You call up already knowing the current information, the active runways, the altimeter setting. It tells the controller you're a professional and it frees up the frequency. Then you make your call. Nice and complete. Who you're calling, who you are, where you are, your altitude, and what you want. Approach. Skyhawk 12345. Over the lake at 3,500. Request clearance through the Class Bravo northbound, destination such and such. And then you listen. You wait for those words. Cleared into the Bravo. Once you hear it, you're in the system, you follow their headings and altitudes, and you enjoy the smoothest, most protected flying there is. Because in the Bravo, everybody is separated by ATC. That's the payoff. It's actually some of the safest airspace you can be in, once you're legally inside it. Let's hit the equipment, because Bravo has requirements before you even think about entering. You need a Mode C transponder, the kind that reports your altitude, and you need ADS-B out, automatic dependent surveillance broadcast. That's the modern one. Broadcast your position and altitude out to the world. Those are required inside the Bravo. And here's the part people forget. They're also required in that shell of airspace above the Bravo, all the way up to 10,000 feet, and within 30 nautical miles of the primary airport, from the surface up. We call that 30-mile ring the Mode C veil. Your transponder and your ADS-B need to be on and working anywhere inside that veil. Now let's talk pilot certificate, because there's a rule here that specifically protects student pilots, and it's worth knowing whether you're a student or you're mentoring one. A student pilot, a sport pilot, or a recreational pilot can absolutely fly into most Class Bravos. But it takes a specific endorsement. Your instructor has to give you ground and flight training on that particular Bravo and log an endorsement in your logbook and your training record saying you're good to go there. And there's a short list of the very busiest Bravos in the country where student pilots are flat out prohibited from taking off or landing at the primary airport. No endorsement will get you in. Places like the big New York, Washington, Los Angeles class airports, that list lives in the regulations. In Part 91 Appendix D, and it's worth a look if you fly anywhere near one of them. Here's the takeaway I want you to carry into your next flight. Whether you're going into the Bravo or just flying near it, know where the floors are. Before you launch, look at the shelves along your route and pick your altitude on purpose. Don't just wander up to a nice round number and hope. If you're going underneath, give yourself a cushion. Fly a couple hundred feet below that shelf, not right up against it, because your altimeter has some slop and so does your attention. And if you're going through it, get the ATIS, make a clean call, and do not cross that line until you hear cleared into the Bravo. The examiner on your check ride is looking for exactly this. The airman certification standards call out airspace directly. They want to see that you can identify the Bravo on the chart, state the entry requirements, state the equipment requirements, and the weather minimums, and that you actually maintain your clearance from it when you're asked to fly near it. It's not a trivia question, it's a can you not bust this question. Learning all of this is genuinely hard. Airspace is one of the things that makes brand new students feel like they'll never keep it all straight. I remember that feeling, but I promise you it clicks. One day you're staring at that blue ring feeling overwhelmed, and a few flights later you're calling up approach like it's nothing, sliding right through the middle of the busiest airspace in your region with a controller watching your back. That's the confidence I want for you. Today's refresher leaned on the Federal Aviation Regulations, Part 91, and the FAA's own Aeronautical Information Manual, which lays all of this out if you want to read the source. You'll find more at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern. Go pull up your sectional, find the nearest Bravo, and trace those shelves with your finger tonight. It's the cheapest flight lesson you'll ever get. See you next time.